What is up? Welcome back to the Angry Nation podcast with your favorite angry American and a bunch of other super cool dudes tonight. Special guest tonight, and I want everybody in the comment section to take it easy on Horton that he's not going to come to Mountain Readiness. So don't give him too much crap in the comments, guys. And because you know we need to get him there, but he's not coming.
I understand. Be there, man.
He's going to be there. What do you
know? You're
about?
Coming. Sure. No, I know he's going to be there. That's why. Finally, he's coming. Not that I want him to give you a bunch of shit, Franklin, but you know.
Hey, that's all right. Bring it on. Bring it on.
Bring it on. Sue, do you know Franklin Horton?
We just met tonight.
No, we were just talking about that pre-show. We haven't met yet. So.
Okay. Sue, you'll love Franklin, and Franklin, you will love Sue. But you cannot have him as a character in your books because he's already in mine.
Okay, I appreciate that. You've got dibs.
Because you stole
over character.
Now, Franklin, years ago, read an event together. Oh well, you will later this year. You'll know all about it, Sue. But Franklin and I read a show several years ago. And
by the way, this was 9 years ago, I think.
9 years ago.
Yeah. But who's counting?
But yeah, who's counting? But there's this guy there that he was always at this event, the same dude, and he was, how would you describe him, Franklin? Eccentric?
Yeah, a little bit.
Eccentric? Like, the memory I have of this dude is he's wearing a pair of Wrangler jeans, a Patton-esque World War II era waistcoat, like officer's waistcoat, wool, and a, what was it the first year, Horton? Was it just the BB gun in the holster?
Yeah, it was a holster with a BB gun.
With a CO2 pellet BB pistol in it, because he was practicing for the real thing.
Yeah.
The next year, we see him, and he's graduated to a high point in that same Velcro Uncle Mike's holster on his hip.
Is that called graduating? That's graduating?
For him, it was. For him, it was. He had a real gun. And
he wore yellow shooting glasses all the time.
Yeah, he wore yellow shooting glasses all day, every day. And he was a dream ninja.
Yeah.
In his dreams, he was a ninja.
Nice.
Didn't he get arrested here recently? Franklin?
Oh, I'm not sure, but we asked him if he had bad dreams from reading scary books, and he said, no, I haven't had any bad dreams since I learned to become a dream warrior and fight off bad dreams. All right.
Impressive.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Yeah, but I got dibs on that guy. He became a character.
Well, so he standing in front of me and Franklin talking about the dream warrior shit and all this stuff he does, and he finally gets done and wanders away. And me and Franklin are sitting there. We just turn and look at each other, and we both open our mouths at the same time. And he's like, I'm making him a character. And I was like, son of a bitch. I was like, there's no more natural character for a story on the planet than this guy.
Yeah, so now we say dibs.
So I didn't get him, and Franklin did. Dibs, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, when you're hanging out with a bunch of writers and you meet somebody kind of interesting, you got to call dibs quick, or else they get.
Yeah, and we have one story we've still been working on every time we get together for years now, but none of us have ever wrote it down. Mm-hmm. You know,
we need to next time we're all together just let voice recorder go.
Yeah,
go ahead, Sue.
Franklin, I'm not an author yet, but it. Is it legal to copyright a character of an actually living person?
Yeah, as long as you don't defame a person, you can include living people in your books. As long as you don't defame them. If you defame them, they can sue you.
Yeah, but you can't copyright them, right? So I can be in both your books.
Yeah. Except Chris is called Dibs.
Sue's done started pimping herself out at this point.
Yes, yeah,
he's already he's like, you know, Franklin, yeah. You know, I could be in your book as well.
You see how fast Sue ran up here and stuck his own head in the fence? He did that shit quick, didn't he?
I mean, quick, fast, in a hurry.
Quick, fast, in a hurry.
So what did Chris make you? Because shit. Maybe I'll make you a better character.
I haven't seen it yet.
I made Sue.
Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Let's just put it this way. Carl and Emery in book 13 lose a member and gain a member. I'll just say that.
So I know what that's all about then, yeah. Yeah, well, Franklin, I'm still in the dark here. Give us a little history of and guys like me who are brand new to the Angry American genre. Give us a little background on the books you write.
I started out with a series called The Borrowed World. That's how I met Chris. We ended up set up together at a show back in, I think it was 2015. Sharing a booth together. And since that time, I think I've got maybe 32 or 33 books out. The Borrowed World, the Mad Mix series, and the Locker 9 series are all set in one universe. They're all interconnected in some ways. And then I have a couple other series that aren't tied into that. But, you know, the most popular series are Locker 9, The Borrowed World, and the Mad Mix. They all have a different flavor. The Borrowed World is, you know, very much a prepper story. Then you got Locker 9, which is more about a prepper dad who's trying to get his daughter home after she's been stuck on the road in a disaster. And the Mad Mick is more, it's just kind of its own deal. It's not a prepper story, but it takes place in the same universe. It, tends to do better as a military thriller. So that's what I count it as. It's kind of a military thriller. It's a little over the top, absurd, kind of crazy. But he has his fans. I mean, people like the Mad Mick. But that's it. Yeah, that's my universe.
People are. Hey, you know, Stephanie Johnson's going to be at Mountain Readiness too, right?
I heard that. Hopefully on her best behavior.
So. No promises, but so when I the first year I met Franklin, set up directly across from us was Stephanie Johnson T, who I sent to you, and she had this big 3D map of a community thing. She's a realtor, and she comes strolling over to me and Franklin, and she's looking at both of us, and she looks at Franklin. She's like, "I'm gonna buy your books," because now he had just started. She said, because everybody's buying these books and nobody's buying those books. And I was like, you absolutely need to buy those books. So Stephanie was a fan of his before she's ever a fan of mine.
And see, setting up with Chris worked out really well, because a lot of the people that came through, they're like, "Oh, Chris, I've read all your books." And he's like, "Well, buy his." So, you know, yep. I got the overflow, yep. But I'm not proud. I'd take it. So it worked out well for me.
There you go, Franklin. In the comment section right there for you, buddy. Everyone yells Locker 9. That's Locker it, bro. 9.
I appreciate that.
I spoke to Stephanie for 5 minutes, and I said, "Yeah, you can go ahead and come on along. You'll fit right in."
How many times did she call you?
You talked to her for 5 minutes. Yeah, how many times she called you, Shug? Yeah.
That was quite a few. Quite a few.
She taught you for 5 minutes. Quite a few. You heard 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yes. That's 30 minutes worth crammed into 5. Yep. I was like, so we're going to go ahead and stick you in the Angry Land section.
Oh, yeah.
You've got your own section?
Yeah, we have the Island of Misfit Toys at Mountain Readiness, and it's our part of the world. You're in there. Don't worry. You're
perfect.
You got to pass out your fence like the rest of it.
Yeah, it's the Angry Land. Like, people come in and they're like, "Yeah, I'm going to be temp camping." And I was like, "Okay, do you want to go to sleep at 10 or do you want to not go to sleep at 10? And they're like, you know, And if the if the answer is go to sleep at 10, they go on the other side of the camp.
Well, that sounds perfect for me. Chris and I have been thrown out of many fine establishments over the years.
Not now.
I'll tell you guys. If you're ever talking to Franklin, and he talks a lot, he gets just running on. You can tell here tonight. He just runs on and on and on. And you've got something to say, and you need him to shut up for a minute. Just reach over and pull his hat off his head. The fucker can't talk.
Yeah, it's like Samson. You take the hat off, my mouth won't work.
So it's like the input to the
mic. Me, him, and Steve Bird walked into a Ruth Chris Steakhouse in Jacksonville one night. And there was some big shindig going on, and a bunch of really nicely dressed people, and we were dressed like we were dressed. And they asked us to take our hats off at the table. And Franklin never said a fucking another word.
I can't work without my hat. My brain doesn't work. It holds the thoughts together.
You got the tinfoil on the inside.
So the hat is truly the right. Well, and so the hat is actually the power behind all of your book series. Then, if the hat comes off, that's it. No more book series.
It doesn't matter which hat it is. It just has to be a hat. I don't know why it works that way.
It's like the sorting hat, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've got the world sorted out all right.
Yeah.
You don't want to know what my groups are.
Yeah, and then I ended up leaving Steven and Franklin alone for the rest of the evening. And they ended up, what did you guys climb, a fucking railroad bridge or some shit? Across the river?
We crossed a drawbridge, and then they raised it after we got inebriated and we're heading back to our hotel. And Steve was convinced that he could run and jump the span of the drawbridge, but
talked him out of it.
Note to self, do not drink with Franklin.
I talked him out of it. I was the voice of reason. That is me.
Okay.
And that's scary when Franklin Horton is your vote. That'd be like saying Sue LaRue was the voice of reason that night.
We were the voice of reason.
I'm only the voice of reason during marriage counseling, because I've done it so many times. I can tell you what not to say to your wife.
What not to say.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. I make a good marriage counselor. Yeah.
Love it.
I'm like Franklin. When she says something and it's got a tone to it, I just take my hat off and shut up.
I take my hat off and shut up.
Take the hat off.
I'm just reading some of these comments as they stream through. Drink of choice tonight is Crown. So,
by Chris and Franklin Horton hats. There you go. There's the gift. Gift of the year.
Here's your Chris, one. I was the here, Franklin. You got tons of.
That's good. I appreciate that. I was the voice of reason when we were down in Baton Rouge, too. You remember that adventure?
All right. So that's what I was. I was before or after Jacksonville. I don't remember.
I think it was before.
It was after.
Okay. Yeah. It was now before or after Gonzalez. One or the other.
I remember after Gonzalez, I'm never dealing with this fucking guy again ever. So it had to be after. Okay. And you were the most reason for Todd that night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Voice reason. What jello shots can I put Crown in? Julie Sharp Dorn is asking. All of them, Julie. Except those green ones, because they have Everclear in them. Can't put crowd Everclear jello shots. It's gonna be a good time.
Sound like orange jello. Sound like a really bad hangover. What it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You guys seemed to have a good time last year, and I heard a lot of feedback from several people who went, and I had a lot of FOMO after that. So
good. Well, I still have the text from the first time that I sent you, Franklin. Yeah. I was like, hey, you know, big fan. You're the OG prepper. And Franklin, he was just not there. He was like, yeah, nah, not my thing. Don't want to pack around those books. And then to my surprise, I was like, I gotta ask Franklin if he'll come again. And sure enough, Frank was like, heard good things. I'm gonna be there. I was like, holy crap, look at that. Just like that.
Well, you know, I had one year where I just got burned out on shows and decided, you know, I'm not doing any for a year. So it just so happened that was that first year you asked. And you know, I had taken the year off, but then I got texts from like five or six people who were there saying, hey, how come you're not up here? And including Chris. And so when you asked this time, I was in.
Awesome. Could not be happier. Katie. And I'm sure I speak for many, many other peoples.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I know that Mike Shelby was one of them, Forward Observer. You know, he sent me a text and he's like, man, this is a good time. We're having a blast. Where the hell are you?
KT Dixon in the house. It's another writer in Orlando. He's a good dude right here. KT Dixon. Orlando.
KT Dixon.
Yep. And Susan Heron's in the house tonight. What is up, Susan?
Since we have two esteemed novelists on the panel this morning or this evening above us,
where?
What is your guys' opinion of the movie Civil War? My wife and I went to see it Saturday night, and I've never been more disappointed in my life. I wish I could get that money back.
I haven't seen it yet.
I have not either.
But I want to see it.
Give us a rundown, Sue. Give us your sister, Heber.
Spoiling it for everybody, I just wanted to say that, you know, we had some presumptions that you know, the backdrop of the whole movie would be, you know, that the conservatives were the bad guys and the liberals were going to take over the country and everything. But after watching the movie, I'm pretty disappointed because I think the entire audience was just confused of what was going on, besides basically a story about three or four war correspondents. None of the plot made sense. So I don't think you guys need to waste money going to a theater to see it. You can wait for it to come out.
Mike Shelby with Forward Observer put out he went and saw it. Opening, pre-screen, whatever it was that he did, and he did a real good write-up on that, and that told me that I would not be spending my money to go see it. It didn't spoil anything. It's just, you know, Mike Shelby, the way he put it was exactly what you just said, Sue. It was just a bunch of gore and crap, and really didn't have a plot. It was just kind of thrown together.
Good. Yeah, I don't like going to the movie theater anyway, so I'll wait till it comes streaming somewhere.
Yeah, probably the most interesting.
In a dark interesting with a whole bunch of strangers.
Yeah, I'll stay home.
That's not your thing.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Well, probably the most interesting foundation of the platform. Probably the most interesting foundation of the back plot in the movie was that California and Texas had teamed up and had a military force called the Western Forces, you know, and I was like, California and Texas teaming up, right. that will never happen.
Yeah.
No, it'd have been more realistic if they had California and New York team up.
Yeah, what would they call that for?
It would be more realistic.
Man, I don't. That's
Trip Barber in the house. What is up, Trip? I'm working on it, my friend. I am trying my hell. If I can get that comment on the screen. There it is. We're trying, man. I'm waiting on a lawyer to send me a contract, and then I got to send them money, and then we're going to execute another contract for him. That'll give me some lateral freedom of movement, and I'll be able to do a little bit more than I'm presently able to pull off. So that'll happen. Hopefully next week on home. Hopefully next week.
What did he say? How to get it on Netflix? Is that what he just said? I thought you had to
like. Yeah, they're talking about like trying to get the. You
know, I figured you had to be on like FC Island and stuff to be able to get anything on Netflix.
You got to pay somebody. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I'm just catching up on comments real quick, y'all. I think and for all you guys are wanting to see them done, trust me, we're working on it. I mean, it's just slow.
I think there is money flowing.
The other option direction. Is to,
it's just not there.
Oh, but that's the thing is, like the Civil War movie, everybody's talking about how fucking awful it is, and it was, there wasn't a lot of anticipation behind that movie because we produced it and we're from what they're going to fucking do on it. So people are hungry, though, for stuff that resonates with them, like what we write, frankly. People would love to watch that shit. And so we've been, we may end up having to go to a funded route and do it ourselves, which means raising the money. And that's $5 million. You know, that's what it's, that's our budget. We've got this screenplay, the pitch deck, the lookbook, a sizzle reel, budgets, a battle. We're ready to go. So we might have to just fund it and do ourselves. There we go. Thanks, Austin.
You know,
what do you thought was down in for, Sue?
I think there's money flowing in that direction, though, because, you know, I've heard studios asking, bring us conservative projects, and they don't know what they're looking at, though. They don't understand what conservative-leaning projects are, but they've kind of got this blanket call out now that they're wanting to look at conservative projects, but they just don't understand the audience. So, you know, I think there are more opportunities opening up, but they definitely don't understand what they're looking at yet.
And I was going to say, if your budget's only $5 million, you're never going to get Ron Howard to lift some weights and play my character. This is just not going to happen. He doesn't work that cheap.
Ron Howard. I don't need Ron Howard. I've got Opie in Lake Charles, Louisiana, that will bring him to play you. He looks just like you. He might be one of your kids. He could be one of your kids for all I know.
That was my nickname growing up. You know, that's how I got stuck with Sue, because people were calling me Opie, and I'd bust them in the mouth.
All right, Franklin. Here's a question for you. There we go. What's up next? What's Franklin got on deck?
I am finishing Mad Mech 11, which is called Hostile Takeover. Finishing that this month, and then it goes into editing and proofreading and audio. So hopefully that'll be out at the beginning of June. And then this summer, I'm going to be starting on a new series that's in the Borrowed World universe. So right now that universe has three series, and then there's going to be four series. So this is brand new stuff, and hopefully it's entertaining, because that seems to be the universe that resonates with everybody is that Borrowed World universe. So that's the plan. New book in that series.
Franklin, what is the, is there a real Mad Mech? I mean, the cover of the dude has an incredible beard. I'm a beard guy. Is there a real guy that you took that guy from?
There is a guy who inspired the character of the Mad Mech, and he doesn't have the same life as the Mad Mech. It's not an assassin, but it was inspired by a real person whose life history, you know, is very much like that of the Mad Mech. He has an Irish background and a shady Irish background. And he passed on a lot of those stories. So a lot of the stories that are in that series, kind of the family stories of the Irish character, are all true, relayed to me by the guy who inspired the character. But no, the guy on the cover is just kind of a model who was cheap enough to get stuck on those covers.
Stuck on there. Well, yeah. I was like, man, in a post-apocalyptic type world, that guy has a shit ton of beard, you know, beard and mustache wax, because the dude is, he looks phenomenal.
You know, there's a huge difference in what covers cost, like, because romance, and, you know, want fantasy covers. So they spend tens of thousands of dollars as opposed
to
podcasts.
I can't see anybody else. I don't see you.
Right? What's that?
So you're the only person I can see right now.
Well, I assure you that Sue and Franklin are also with us. It may just be your eyesight. The years are creeping up.
Nah, it's this internet that I've got right now. I'm still on top of a mountain in Blairsville. I don't have internet at all.
And who was that? And to Thomas Noderman, yes, Franklin will be at Mountain Readiness over there in the comments. He will be there. Finally, we finally got him.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's right. Surviving the, surviving the disaster, choosing a hat to wear. Yes, Franklin, you're back now. You were here the whole time.
Hey, that's important. I always carry several with me, so I have a backup.
Right.
Like this room right here, I'm going to just make a move. I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hats. Hats are important.
Hats are important.
Let me see. Oh, here you go, Franklin. Here's a good one, especially for like Pete. Pete, here's something you need to pay attention to. God damn it. I'm trying to put Will's. Russ, put Will's coming up. Nothing's working for me on my end. There you go. Do you ever get national reviews like a Pete you just received? And why don't you post them to help boost your sales?
Well, Chris,
do you,
comment
or read reviews anymore, Franklin?
No, you and I are in the same school on these. I don't read reviews, and I know you don't either. Pete and I were kind of talking in comments about this earlier today because he was posting a bad review, but I don't read them. You know, I like it when people read or post reviews because it helps readers find the books and it gets that review count up, which is helpful. But, you know, I don't want to read those reviews and be influenced by them in the future. I don't want it kind of clouding my head up. So I don't read them.
Yeah. Years ago.
I would struggle with that. I would struggle with that. I'm not lying.
Yeah, reviews can cloud your thinking. Like, you write something that you think is really good, and then you get some idiot who's like, well, you know, I hated that part, and here's why I hated it. And then next time you're writing a scene that involves that particular thing, that may be hanging in your head, and it may make you kind of tone it down. So, you know, it's better not to have that. Just keep writing the stuff that you like and that your readers like, and don't worry about, you know, the outlier who, you know, trashes something you do.
Not one complete.
He didn't make everybody happy.
Yeah, I remember Chris and I were set up years ago selling books, and this person came by, and she picked up one of Chris's books, and she said, you know, your books were really good, but there were way too many F words in there and, you know, way too much profanity. And I don't think I can read any more of them. And so she picked up one of my books and she's like, so what are your books about? And I'm like, yeah, you wouldn't like them. If you don't like his, you're not going to like mine either.
Have you ever watched the movie, The Big Lebowski?
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically the same.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny, though, that she actually read the whole book, though. She's like, oh, I can never read another one of these books. I did read the entire book, but however, you know, I can't read another one.
Well, when I released my first book, I did have one guy who read it and sharpied out all the parts that offended him and then gave it back to me. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot shorter. It was a lot shorter.
Did you keep the book?
No, I gave it back to him because I told him, I said, you paid for it. You might as well keep it.
Keep it on your shelf.
Yeah.
Sue, once again, here is another writer to assist you in your endeavors of writing that book that you still have yet to really start.
I'm like Franklin and Chris. I don't read the reviews. You know, I did some articles. I'm published in some articles and some essays, I guess, right after I got back from Baghdad, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I remember a lot of political comments and everything. And I did make one comment back at some of the reviews I was reading. And I was like, well, why don't you go and play jacks in the middle of the highway or something? And I think I was predicting the future, because now all those Palestinian supporters and Hamas supporters are out in the middle of the highway playing jacks and stopping traffic. So it just cracks me up. I got to be really careful about saying things. And I got one more on that. I was just like, I remember years ago when I first got stationed, re-stationed, or came back to Fort Bragg to be on the general staff. And I was in a small town in Polkton, North Carolina, we were in a diner and we were just having breakfast. There's three or four of us, you know, a couple of guys used to be instructors, but we're all in civilian clothes and everything, having dinner on a Sunday morning. And these group of college girls were going to go up and they were going to participate in pulling down a statue of a Confederate soldier. I started laughing about it, and they're like, "What? Why are you laughing?" And I said, I hate those Confederate soldiers. All, you know, the Democrats put them all up, made everybody put them up during the 1920s and 30s. And they're like, "The Democrats didn't put them there." And I said, "Oh yeah, they did. And they made us name all the army bases, you know, after Confederate generals who were rebellious, you know." And I was like Benning and Bragg and Lee and everything. Those are all after Confederate generals. All those posts are named after Confederate generals. So why don't you get on a campaign and have them change the names of those too? I'll be damned if they didn't do that too. So I'll just keep my mouth shut.
We have Sue to thank for this. Good job, yeah, Sue.
So Fort Liberty is your fault, Sue.
It's now Fort Liberty.
I'm going to tell everybody.
I planted the seed.
I'm going to tell everybody, Sue. I'm going to tell everybody it was your fault.
Boy named Sue. You look amazing all of a sudden, Chris. Like just that. I mean, the picture's clear. Your beard. Oh no, just kidding. Never mind.
My internet is shit, guys.
It was gone, and then just that quick. Again.
I'm probably not going to get back in if it looks bad on my end. I apologize, but it's shitty internet where I'm at right now.
But you are sounding better. You sound good now.
That's good. That's good. So, all right, let me get caught up here. Fort Polk is now Fort Jackson. Opie says. What was the shirt Franklin was wearing? Franklin, somebody wants to know what your shirt says.
It says Stabby Things.
Stabby Things, yes.
Yeah, they can buy that's it awesome. At my merchandise store, too. The Reset Roadhouse. You can get
Are you going to bring any of these items, Franklin?
Most of them are print on demand because they're different sizes and colors. So they print them as people order them. So I really don't carry any inventory. But, you know, if people go to resetroadhouse.com, there's Mad Mix shirts, Borrowed World shirts, Stabby Thing shirts, the whole deal.
Very cool.
I like it. Stabby Things. Get out of my personal space.
Stabby Things.
Yeah, this is the newest one. This is the newest shirt in the store. So.
I can dig it.
Yeah, I'll have books. I'll have books and a couple other things. Sign books and hand out wisdom. So, you know, that's what we do.
Hand out wisdom. The wisdom's free.
Man. Yeah. A gentleman and a scholar.
Yeah, there you go.
Very nice.
Somebody asked in the comments about the coffee makes me poop mugs. You can get those at the Reset Roadhouse too.
Oh, that's great. I like it. That's great. Oh, I have a good friend of mine that stood to reason.
What is up, Gary Bass? Good to see you in here, brother. All right, here's one. We'll go around the horn, Franklin. This one, you answer first. You think we'll have the election in November? Somebody's asking, so I'm just going to let everybody answer.
These days, I'm taking it one day at a time. I don't know what's going to happen next week.
Keep playing it safe. I don't know what's
happening fucking tomorrow, let alone November. Unicorn. Yeah, what do you think, Sue? Do you think it's going to matter?
I kind of doubt it. Biden's looking pretty weak. I don't think he's going to make it to November. You know, I think we're going to have a presidential funeral before November, and then I don't know who's going to jump in there. This Gavin Newsom guy out in California, he keeps on with that stupid smirk of his. I mean, if I ever got to sit in the same room with him, I'd probably slap that smile off his face because he knows something we all don't.
Oh yeah. Oh, Trip Barber's a Kevin Pierce fan. Kevin Pierce
was with us at Roots Chris when we had to take our hats off.
That's right. He was there.
Yeah, he was the only guy not wearing a hat.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. Gonzalez was kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
We had to keep... Billy Sore, what is up, brother? Keep my buddy Todd in line. Todd had a 10-gallon hat on.
Yeah, that was the night all the other tables were scooting away.
Yeah, we had people in the restaurant actually moving away from us, like scooting shit out of the way. We had to carry my buddy back to the room. Friends crashed their bikes. They're okay. Damn, Will. Take care, brother. Hope your buddy's all right.
For sure.
Is an attack on our soil imminent? Terry, no. The likelihood of something like that happening is so remote. Now, I'll caveat that with potential southern border incursions coming out of Mexico, but that's it. Would you agree, Sue? No one's going to attack us domestically unless they're coming out of Mexico.
I was preparing for an EMP event and everything, and then I got to thinking about it while I was throwing my cell phone across the living room because it doesn't work anyway. But I was thinking, the Chinese aren't going to hit us with an EMP explosion or anything. I mean, they're the ones that stand to lose all the money, you know. I want to go into Verizon.
There's a lot of cell phone sales.
Yeah, I want to go into Verizon and ask them, you know, ask their employees, if you don't show up for work 3 or 4 days of a month, do you get paid for those days? And when they say no, then I say, well, then you can reduce my bill by 10% because 3 or 4 days of a month, this phone don't work. So I'm not paying for it.
Well, the Chinese, they're not worried about money. The Chinese want the land. You know, I can't remember the general's name, but there was that Chinese general wrote that book a few years ago, basically laid their plan out about the American problem. And so the Chinese, the problem is that there's Americans living here in this country. China, in their mind, has worked it out to where they discovered North America first, and it's actually theirs. And they're legitimately working on bioweapons that only affect Caucasians. That's their solution. They said we can either leave or they'll use bioweapons against us.
To know what? How does that even work?
I don't know if there's going to be is there going to be an attack on our soil? Was the question? There's been an attack on our soil for the last 5 years. If you look at how if you really study history and peel back the onion of how all these countries went from capitalism to socialism into communism. It seems like it's the same. It's always out of the same playbook. I mean, all the prices go way up. The monetary system becomes, you know, your monetary system becomes basically devalued. Private property becomes kind of outlawed and things like that. And what it does is it weakens people to resist. You know, if like right now we're trying to tactical riflemen, we're trying to sell classes, we're trying to sell ammo, things like that. Nobody has any spare money right now. So the attack has been happening. Mm-hmm. you know, especially on our culture and on our children. For I mean, every country's gold is their children. That's your future right there. That's what you have to protect. And they've captured through the education system and social media, they've captured the minds of our children. And nobody's really fighting back on that. So is there an attack imminent? No, there's the attack's been going on for 5 years. We just have to admit it.
We have bioweapons coming, though. I'm gonna agree with that. And I know how it's gonna go down is Starbucks. They're gonna put it in Starbucks. You all see crackers, all those crackers dropping like flies, man. Bioweapon in Starbucks. That's how it goes down.
Well, but see, Starbucks wouldn't kill off the ones that they need to be worried about. If the Chinese are smart, they'd put it in Budweiser.
Because
them rednecks don't drink that shit.
Yeah. Or Bush Light, maybe. Or maybe
Bush Light. Oh, even better. No, you nailed it with Bush Light. Bush Light and Natty Light. You put it in them too.
Natty Ice, boy. That Natty Ice, you take out the entire trailer park.
Yeah, but all you guys that have merchandising networks and things like that, I want to get the T-shirt, or I want to produce the T-shirt that says if my tight jeans can't protect you from my fart, then your mask can't protect you from COVID. I just want that T-shirt. Put it out.
Oh, man.
If you can smell my fart through your mask, you just got COVID.
Man, Sue, he comes up with some stuff. I see, Sue, you changed your voicemail, too. I called the other day and went to voicemail. It was last week or something. I seen you changed your voicemail as well. You always have good voicemails. Sometimes I call Sue just to get his voicemail update.
Yeah. Yep.
Get a
life. Oh, yeah. What the hell was that?
What's that?
Was I the only one that heard it? I thought I heard something. That was odd. All right.
It could be Amber. Amber's probably swearing in the background. I'm deaf. I can't hear anything anyway. So it may be Amber. I'm in my little office here, and the door is back here. And nothing's, so sometimes sounds like- drift through.
Nothing's like flown past you in the background or nothing. Like she's you missing, you know what I mean?
Nah, she's been busy, man. We're raising, you know, she's busy. We got the 50 meat birds out there she's been taking care of, another 20 of her own. And I mean, and getting goats here soon, clearing property. She just planted all the gardens. She's been busy as a bee. So she hasn't had time. Now she did. We have these geese. We have these geese that come back every single year. They're mean as hell, and as soon as the little goslings hatch, they're really mean. And I'm waiting for Amber to post a video. She come out of the garage with one of those full auto Nerf guns because it had her hold up. It had her hold up in the basement, you know, as a walkout basement. She come out with this full auto Nerf gun, just hoses these geese down with this Nerf gun. I get this video at work. You know, it's awesome. I said, man, you got to post that shit. People are going to love to see this.
A Nerf gun against the geese. That's hilarious.
Full auto Nerf gun. And they work? Took off. I mean, it worked.
Yeah.
Are they Canadian geese?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've never seen a gun before.
Yeah, they're unarmed.
Opie, you're projecting again, buddy. That's you, not me. Not me. That is you. Let me see.
Don't let Chris around the goats, it says.
Yeah, that's Opie. That's Opie I was talking about. That's Sue's boy right there, Andrew Dagenhard. That's Sue's illegitimate child.
I guess Mad Mick is not one to be around goats either.
He likes them a lot of different ways, you know, kebabbed, ground, meatloafed.
I'm actually getting meat goats. I'm getting heritage breed meat goats. They're going to be eight.
Yeah, I'm getting goats too. And my wife, My wife is dead set against goats, but I got this ridge behind me that's just overgrown, you know, with briars and all kinds of underbrush. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get the goats to take care of it. And she was dead set against me getting any goats. And I looked at her and I said, okay, if everything just collapses or the economy, just the economy goes down and the supply chain goes bad, who's going to feed your six dogs? You know, it's going to be true. Those goats.
That is too funny. My goat is jumping on the hood of my farm truck right now.
Jason, the key is to not have nice vehicles. That's the key.
God damn it. Who's more in
the
sweet?
The key is also to buy collars for your goats and leash them with steel cable so they can't chew through the rope. Tie them to a tree, let them eat, bring them down, yep. Bring them down to some water, and do not let them off those leashes. That's the key to goats.
Right. I'm going to eat them. I already told Amber. I said we can't have no pet goats. What works on it?
Yeah, goats eat everything you don't want them to eat. I said hot fence works great with goats. You just have to properly introduce them to the fence so they understand it.
Yes.
And yep. By that, I usually mean pushing them into it repeatedly. So.
Push them directly into the fence.
Literally. You kept pushing them into it until they didn't want to go nowhere near it. So, because when we first put up the fence, they would just run and jump through it. So then we had to educate them.
Right.
So they didn't want to be nowhere near the fence. They were educated.
Yep. Yeah, they're slow learners.
Yeah, they're not real bright. They took a minute, but they got onto it when they woke up. They didn't go near it. Then you could pour sweet feed under that last strand down there, right under the strand. And they would walk up, get on their knees, and crawl up and get about 6 inches from the wire and just start shaking. And then back up. They didn't want no part of it.
Perfect. Now we've got all the woods here that used to be pasture land. We're going to turn them goats loose in there and let them chew.
There you go. Hell
yeah. How many goats are you getting?
What's that?
How many goats are you getting?
Too many.
So, I believe we got four coming, four or five. And we've got 2 acres for them to chew on currently that we're clearing. It's 40 acres total, but the 2 acres is what we need to get rolling to get the pasture going again.
Is that so drunk goats? Is that like fainting goats or is passing out goats? Is that a thing now? We get
goats drunk? It's like fainting goats, only they throw up.
Only they throw up and piss themselves.
Yeah. Only they throw up and wake up in their own vomit and excrement. Right there. Oh, man. That's awesome. I'm going to get our goats drunk once just for the hell of it. Take a video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to for sure.
That's YouTube worthy.
Ugh. Yeah, I read that too.
Put this up just because it's in the comment. Oh my god, that's awful.
I have no idea.
He's talking about goats. Reading. Read it. He's talking about the goats. The goats themselves, the actual goats.
Yeah.
Or he's referring reading to your beard. I don't know.
No, come on now. Damn it.
We know that's a lie because you're not nearly that. We know that's a lie because you're not nearly that flexible, D. Neither am I.
Not even close. Anymore, I'm doing good to touch my toes. You know, you could take two, I could remove two ribs. It wouldn't mean shit. Ain't happening.
Remove two ribs.
Wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter. Already down one. Yeah, already down one rib. Two more still wouldn't happen. Oh Franklin, God, where about in the world are you? What do you got going on?
Well, I'm kind of at the intersection of Tennessee and Virginia. I live back in the woods on a little mountain, and I rarely leave. I leave about once a week. That's it. I stay here most of the time, stay buried working on my books, and that's about it. I have
my hero.
I have my shop, and that's it. I go back and forth.
Yeah, you are my hero. I'm striving to get to that same place where I don't even have to leave, but maybe once a month. That's the goal.
Well, you know, during COVID, I think at one point I went 2 months without leaving. So I was pretty pleased with that. Cause you know, I don't have anywhere I want to go most of the time. So
I don't either, but you know, I just have to chase that dollar. It seems like for the time being.
Yeah.
And COVID thing, shoot, I was in the transportation business at that time, and that I traveled more. You know, my traveling doubled during COVID. I was like, I'm watching everybody else hanging out at their house, catching a check. I'm like, shit, must be nice.
Pete, I'm near Bristol, Tennessee. Pretty close to that.
Oh, yeah. The racetrack, yeah.
Yeah, about 20 minutes, 25 minutes away.
Yeah, you're not that far then. I'm about like 2 hours, 2.5 hours from there. We're here in Wilkes County. Wilkes County, North Carolina.
Yeah. I'm about 2 hours from Asheville.
Down by Asheville.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Sue, he's about 2 hours the other direction from me.
Which way is that?
I think I can get up to Bristol in about an hour and a half if I do it right. Yeah. So.
Oh yeah, we're all.
I'm right by Cherokee, North Carolina, which is you know in that little horn of North Carolina that I mean I can mm-hmm. spit into Tennessee and throw a rock into Georgia from where I'm at. So.
Oh yeah, it's the same here where I live. I can stand outside and I can see North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia from my front or backyard, depending on which one I'm standing in.
Right. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Now I'm with Wilkes. I've got to run through the edge of Virginia and hit 81 to get down to where you are at. So it's probably about 2.5 hours from Bristol for me.
Yeah, well, if you're passing through on 81, I'm about 20 minutes off 81. So,
all right. Yeah, not too. So it's kind of a triangle then. Actually, it's kind of a triangle like we're setting right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lindy, I got to get caught up on my emails. I know there's some stuff in there for you guys to get back to the people in Idaho and Montana, but August right now is looking like when we will be out that way. Details to follow. So.
That's a good train to go.
Yeah, there's a new training facility being stood up out in Montana. Big Fork. Yeah, and so I'm going to go out there and help with that a little bit and do some stuff with those guys and, you know, get the lay of the land, and we'll have another facility to be able to use. So.
Very cool.
Jason says, I can see Meth Head, Tennessee, or Memphis, Tennessee from my area. You don't mean meth head. You mean Methlopotamia.
Yeah, meth. It's not meth. It's meth. Yeah. Yeah, it's meth. It's M-E-F-H. Meth head.
Meth? Meth heads? Oh, are you British all of a sudden?
Nah, it's meth mouth.
Oh, yeah, Gary. We're
rotted by cuspices hanging out everywhere.
By cuspices.
Yeah, a little rotted by cuspices and canines hanging out and be like, guy got the meth mouth.
Jason, you're right, Jason. I was just where you live. You nailed it. It's Methlopotamia over there. Let me see. Who wins the battle? Oh, there we go. Hey, what do you think, Franklin?
I don't think they would fight. I don't think it'd be a battle. They would get along.
That's what I was saying. They would just get along and be like, all right, now we're twice as big a force as we were before.
Yeah, let's hang out. Let's drink.
Let's hang out. Let's drink.
Drink.
Here we go, Griff.
Or hey, this from Griff there, Horton.
Oh yeah. Always delivering the bad messages from Joey.
So Joey, I think they're going to try to come. I think T, if you get to meet Joey, she's a little 4-foot-nothing Japanese girl, but grew up in Colorado. Don't speak a word of Japanese. When you look at her, she's Japanese. 4-foot-nothing too, and she's taking Carl's tactical carbine course, tactical or combat pistol, combat carbine. She's taken both of those, and she was high shooter in the carbine course. She's a very bad cool little chick.
And who is this?
Her name's Joey. She's my buddy Donnie's girlfriend. But as I remind Donnie if you're watching, Donnie, I'll say it again. We knew Joey first, so.
Yeah.
Didn't we, Franklin?
We did, absolutely.
Chris says she's whiter than I am.
I think I may have introduced them. I'm not sure, but I think I introduced them at St. Pete.
You might have. I wasn't there.
Yeah, you might. Yeah.
I wasn't there.
When I saw them two standing together, I knew why Donnie was wearing it. I realized why Donnie was wearing a kilt.
He got that mini skirt at Forever 21, and don't let him lie to you.
But
that's a mini skirt. But we're going to pack up here in a few minutes, and I'm going to close down this lovely camper and hook up to some Mitch Point at South and get on the road.
Oh, you had you heading out tonight?
Yeah, I'm driving home tonight.
Sweet. Very cool.
So
back in your own bed.
Back in my own bed for a few days before I get to go do this some more. So
where's the next stop? I gotta admit.
Mountain Readiness. Next stop.
Mountain Readiness is the next stop.
What are the dates for Troy's Gate thing, man? What are the dates for that?
So Monday is when you guys are all scheduled to go over there. That'll be you, Joe, Ted, all you guys, Randy's got you guys slotted for Monday. The Monday after Mount Readiness, the sixth.
Yeah.
Monday
the 6th. That'd be the 6th. The 6th, yeah.
Perfect. All right, good. Good. I just want to get that stuck in here because I never had it.
Yeah, Monday the 6th, I told Randy, and he's like, tell all those big hotshots that Monday is the day. I said, good enough. I'll pass the word along. So,
yeah.
And by the way, Sue, are you available this coming Monday? Because Randy's going to be on the podcast with us as well this next Monday.
You want me on the podcast?
Well, yeah, Randy's going to be on there.
Yeah, I'd be happy for Randy. I missed it last night, and of course, last week I was sitting in a parking lot. So,
what was that? I'm soliciting in the parking lot.
Yeah, Bob Evans. Yeah.
Just waving at all the truckers. Yeah. Goes on at Bob Evans.
Bob Evans. Sue the Cougar Hunter. He was at Bob Evans. Hunt the saber-toothed tigers.
Yeah, that's a code. That's a code. That's a soliciting code. Meet at Bob Evans.
I turned 60 years old this year, so cougars for me would have to be like 80. That's nasty, Chris. That's just wrong. There's something wrong with that.
I didn't even say cougar. I did say saber-toothed tigers, you know. They're older than cougars. Oh shit. Well, Franklin, where can people find you, man? I gotta shut this down so I get my ass on the road. So where can people find you, dude? Like these
my website, franklinhorton.com. If you want Mad Mick merchandise or Stabby Things shirts, you go to resetroadhouse.com. My books are on Amazon and Audible. That's it. And you can see me at Mountain Readiness.
There you go.
That Mountain Readiness.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's was it 2 weeks about. From now? It's closing in.
Yeah, man, just a little over 2 weeks. Just a little over two weeks, man.
Just a little bit.
Counting them down. And we're coming up 2.5 weeks.
I'm looking we're coming up a little early, a couple days early. So,
cool.
Sue, you got anything?
I'm just putting in Franklin's name because I'm gonna get these books and compare them to yours, Chris, and give you a. I don't know.
An honest review.
You can write all the reviews you want. And neither one of us will read them.
That's right.
Write all the reviews you want.
I'm just wasting my time. Why would I send you guys a review? But I will see you in person, so maybe I can just.
Those are the reviews that count. The in person ones.
The in-person ones.
No, I'm looking forward to meeting you, Franklin.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
Nervous. All right.
It's going to be good.
That's all I got.
I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a good time. And we appreciate y'all hanging out. You know, hit the likes and subscribes and all that shit that I never say that you're supposed to every time, and I don't do it because it feels condescending and patronizing. But do it. It does matter.
Slightly dirty. Slightly dirty on top of it, the boot.
Yeah, you feel a little dirty afterwards. And let's everybody big shout out to Russ, who's always in the background in these things, and he's always there. And there he is, you bastard! I put you up. And he's the man behind the curtain, y'all. Russ makes sure a lot of stuff happens in working with Holly, my awesome manager. And if it wasn't for them, none of this shit would happen, y'all. So thanks, Russ.
Hey, I appreciate it, Chris.
Oh yeah, man. You know this. He was out on the road with us for a while.
Yep. Had a ball. Looking forward to being back on the road again.
Yep. And we're heading out again.
Yep. Mountain Rangers, so, here we come.
That's it. And on that note, we'll call it a night. You guys know the truth. Huh?
And I'll remind you to pack your Starlink this time.
I'm not going to ever forget my Starlink again. Don't worry about that. That's never. Which Starlink would have been useless here. At this campground, the tree cover, Starlink would have been useless. So that's, ain't going to work everywhere.
The chainsaw along with your Starlink.
Come into a campground and start dropping trees.
Start dropping damn trees, man. Be like, look, I got to get my Starlink working, y'all.
And my Dish TV. So, all right, y'all, that's it for tonight. We appreciate y'all hanging out with us. And until next week, we'll do it some more. They'll be good or be good at it. You know the drill. Same old.